Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
It's a normal episode. Haven't done a regular episode where it's just the two of us shooting the shit.
I don't feel that normal
about
it.
In a long time. I know this. We've got to get back into it. Speaking of gay icons, the new print show, Pop Life, is going up over there at Minnesota Street Project, curated by Glenn Helfand.
Yeah.
Is Wofford not a co-curator, but a...
I don't think Wofford's like a co-curator. I think she's
elf
in the show. I think she prompted Glenn to do a second iteration of the show.
Yep. Key harasser. She also has a karaoke chapel. I got a little micro preview of some of the work, and it looks very promising. I got into an interesting conversation with a friend who's an artist, kind of wondering about, like, many of the artists in the show are, like, mid-30s and younger. Oh. And it's kind of like, what's their connection to Prince? What do they know about Prince?
I thought they were bringing, like, Cliff Hankston Scott and Jennifer Wofford.
Yeah, I think there's a spread. There's a spread. But there's definitely some from the younger guard.
Oh.
I'm going to be gallery sitting for that show a couple days, so come on by and really absorb.
Did you offer your help, or did Glenn ask you?
I offered.
You're getting paid?
When I went over there, no. I might get a little commission if they sell any of the work. What are all the pertinent dates on that one, maybe?
Yeah, so the show's not already open. The show opens September 14th, closes October 1st. So that's just about 2 weeks.
Damn.
Really quick. That's quite a turnaround.
Ships in the night.
It's going to be in Gallery 104 and the Media Gallery. I bet you it's Woff's thing in the Media Gallery, the little dark space. Okay. And they're having an opening reception on Saturday, September 17th from 5 to 8.
Now, this is some work that listeners are going to want to buy. It's rare collectibles that you'll want to really, really buy and purchase. So the gallery sitters get paid.
It's like, why are you saying that? What's going on? I wanted to say something really quick about... So the reception is also a literary evening featuring a stage reading of Kevin Killian's poet theater play, Life After Prince, which was written in 1993.
Another art event that transpired was a strange and unusual venture that I went on.
Ooh, nice.
I got an email from Cassie Thornton, who recently left the Bay Area and is back for a little bit. She's like one of those roving artists doing residencies everywhere. She was just in Puerto Rico. She's collaborating with a scholar named Max, who's like, I don't even, he's in the humanities, like the history of financialization or something. I don't know what. Anyhow, they invited me and a few other art people on a walking tour that focused on the Farallon Islands.
Oh, cool.
And then...
On a walking tour.
Do you know about these Farallon Islands?
Sure enough, of course. I've taken a boat out there.
Okay. So it started at this restaurant called Farallon Restaurant, which is like pretty close to like the Union Square.
Okay.
And it's like sea themed, underwater themed.
Awesome. Love it.
And people, like hedge fund managers, go there after work to like
get sloshed,
chill in their private room. So basically everybody who's going on the tour, and I didn't even know it was a tour. I had no idea what was happening. I didn't know if it was going to be a fight club, because I was the first one there and we're in this like super ritzy thing and I didn't know what was going on.
Weird.
So Cassie and Max show up and it starts off and they're like telling us about the Puerto Rican debt crisis and the Farallon Islands and all this stuff. I'm going to not do a great description of this, but stay with me.
Staying.
And they're like, hedge fund people are here. This restaurant's super weird. And like, you know, there's this debt crisis in Puerto Rico. We're also in a financial crisis, you know, of debt. And, you know, and Cassie's work is very much about that.
Yeah.
And we're like trying to think creatively about revenge. And so Cassie starts talking about this plant called the African tulip, which is an invasive species in Puerto Rico and many other places in the world. And it's this tree that like grow. It's another nickname that they have for it is the immortal stranger.
Whoa, I love that.
And like once it starts growing, you just can't get rid of it. And even if you can get it down, like, you can't do anything with the wood. It's, like, oily and weird. And, like, everything about it is super weird. And it just grows and grows like a weed. And it's
quite
huge.
Beautiful.
It's not bad looking. Anyhow, then Cassie passes out these seeds of this plant and says, go around the restaurant and find places where, because there were lots of, like, plants and shit in this restaurant, ficuses and shit. Go plant these seeds. And so, like, and then we head off. Like, we leave and we go through Chinatown over to, like, I don't even know where, over by, like, the Embarcadero, by that movie theater over there. There's, like, a weird corporate, a bunch of corporate buildings. And so, anyhow, we go over there and we're in front of this building that is the headquarters of Farallon Capital Management, which is a hedge fund.
Oh.
Which is run by this guy named Tom Steyer. Have you heard of him?
Mm-mm, no.
We're learning about this hedge fund that's here in San Francisco and, like, all over. And learning about how they're involved with the Puerto Rican debt crisis because they own a bunch of the debt.
Wow.
And then we get more seeds of this weird plant and we go plant them around the, like, corporate, like, courtyard of this hedge fund. Okay. And, like, we do, you know, each time we plant the seeds, there's, like, a little thing you think about and, like, a little exercise of stuff, kind of a meditation almost, and all this stuff. And then we continue on and go to a couple other places and learn more about invasive species. And it was, like, very metaphorical because you can also think about, like, gentrification.
Yeah.
This guy, Tom Steyer, is also involved in, like, the gentrification in West Oakland, which is where the tour ended up, like, in the middle of the night at this property management, like, this real estate management office in West Oakland that is, like, the brother of this Tom Steyer guy runs this place that's, like, responsible for, like, a ton of the displacement and gentrification in West Oakland. And we're, like, planting seeds all along the way and learning about invasive species and all this stuff. And then we kind of end up at this, like, a community garden over in West Oakland, really close to, like, aggregate space over there. I forget the name of it, but... And just kind of, like, you know, we're talking kind of metaphorically and mystically about the idea of getting, like, botanical revenge because we're, like, planting these crazy weeds in this guy's, like, you know, all his places. But these people are doing it for real. They're, like, you know, like, creating space for the people that, you know, and, like, doing, like, actual, like, radical just social justice work through this community garden, which is on property owned by this property management. And they were almost getting kicked out, but they fought it.
Oh, wow.
So anyhow, and also along the way, we learned that Tom Steyer is one of the biggest contributors to Hillary Clinton. Like, they basically say, and I think I heard about this before the tour, but that he's kind of like the Koch brothers, but for the Democrats.
Wow.
And, like, he has, like, very unabashed political...
Good digging, Cassie. Damn.
Yeah. Her and Max both were, like, really bringing it. Anyhow, that he, like, very possibly could run for governor of California and, like, maybe president later on.
The Steyer guy?
Tom Steyer. You can find him on Facebook. Look into this shit. It's crazy.
You can find him on Facebook.
You can at least find his, like, page, like, his, like, notable person page.
Yeah.
But it's next level because he's, like, really fucking over some people, you know? Like, he's doing bad things. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, are we okay with this because he shares, like, some of our political views?
Does he share some of your political views?
He's, like, super green. He's, like, all about saving, fighting climate change and, you know, all this, that, and the other. But it's like, what the fuck, man?
He probably has a lot of investments in that.
It just shows that under neoliberal capitalism, it doesn't even matter. Left and right is just, it's all corporate puppets, man.
Yeah. Eep.
I know, right?
Wait, so sorry, can you just remind me of their connection to the Puerto Rico?
They own a lot of the debt, Puerto Rico's debt. So they just can, like, you know, just like the mortgage crisis, how, like, banks own these, like, toxic assets that were, like, you know, no income, no asset loans were made to people that couldn't afford to pay them back.
Right.
And then people bought those and packaged them and resold them and made a shit ton of money off of it. It's pretty similar. I mean, obviously I'm not an expert and I'm basically just reciting what I learned on Planet Money on NPR. But whenever there's these debt crises, it's always some big fucking financial firm makes a shit ton of money off of it.
I like this idea of revenge.
I know, right?
And it's very poetic, the sort of the plant revenge.
Wow.
So this has nothing to do with the Farallon Islands, basically. They're just using the name.
The guy, that's the name of his hedge fund or whatever. But then also they kept bringing it back to the Farallon Islands and how that has also been a site of like many things that are related to this. Like there were eggs, like the murrays or whatever, some bird laid lots of eggs there, and they would send egg collectors to go get them, and it was so dangerous to dock, like you couldn't really dock your boat there, and so the egg grabber people would like just jump.
Who would send egg grabber people?
Egg companies for back in the day to go get the eggs.
I've never heard that story before.
And that is like a place where there's like really shark infested water, so sure people enough. Would jump in the water and get eaten by sharks. Sharks were also a recurring theme.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Sounds complicated.
It is. I think they're going to do something with all this like research that they've done, like do a paper or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it felt like I felt very privileged to be, because there were only like 8 people on the tour.
Well, it seems like it was sort like of
whoever
invite
was
only.
Invited. Yeah.
Let's see. Private. Private, like, private interests.
Like, who's going to sponsor that and like do a, you know what I mean? Like...
Did you pay for the tour?
No. But like, I mean, if they were going to do a bigger version of it, I don't know if like a art institution would be like, hey, members of our museum or whatever, like, here, come meet this weirdo at this restaurant and go like,
maybe it doesn't have to be an art institution.
Do agricultural terrorism.
Yeah. Maybe the Bike Coalition.
Yeah. So that was fantastic.
That sounds awesome.
Well, Cassie will be giving a talk over at the Omni Commons on Monday, September 19th at 7 p.m. Maybe she'll cover some of this stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm sure she will. She's going to be speaking with a woman named Alessandra Saviotti. Cassie and members of the Fed.
The Feminist Economics Department.
Thank you. We'll be at the Berkeley Art Museum in a leaderless dance score that models possibilities for an intentional community in exile. Sounds interesting.
Oh, yeah, ICE. She's always taking up these, like, really packed acronyms.
I like that. I think that's smart. And that's on Sunday, this Sunday, September 18th, from 2 to 5. I might be there, guys, so come meet me. There's a show at Betty Ono coming up. Opens on September 16th, and it's called Viral, 25 Years from Rodney King.
It's got the card that we're looking at here has a samurai fighting a police officer.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome graphic.
Badass.
So that's coming up. Betty Ono's in Oakland, downtown Oakland, and I think the work they're doing over there is pretty good.
Go check it out.
And
did
then,
we say the whole run of that show? September 16th to October 22nd.
Yeah. Then we have Creativity Explored, which is an incredible art space here in San Francisco.
Right there on 16th Street.
They have an opening on Thursday, September 15th from 7 to 9 of their show called Natural History, which I always like to go there and support them. It's always
it's
great.
It's easy to get to.
It's easy right off the BART line. Just walk down 16th Street.
Go to Muddy Waters.
Arnell's
Pizza. Get a pizza slice bigger than you could ever imagine. You could sail away on one of those pizza slices. We should see if they'll sponsor us. That's like a whole fucking pizza. The pizzas are like the size is like bigger than a manhole cover.
3 feet in diameter.
Bigger than a manhole cover.
Oh, 3 foot radius?
I'm going back down.
You're going back down? we already mentioned this. Do we want to mention it again?
I would love to be sponsored by a pizza place. I could passionately advocate for almost any pizza place.
Okay, we can also try Serrano's, my other favorite pizza spot in the neighborhood.
Well, I'll need to have some free samples to really be able to go into detail.
Okay, I'll work that. I'll work on that. I went to this weekend. I went to SOEX,
Southern Exposure. That's on 20th in Alabama.
Sure enough, for their opening of "Estamos contra el muro," or "We Are Against the Wall," curated by Michelle Carlson, featuring the work of Sita Kuratomi Bomik, in collaboration with a lot of people. Did you see that show?
Not yet.
So it was
very excited about it.
It's a pretty fun exhibition. It's also a state making a very clear and strong statement about being against the wall that Donald Trump is proposing for between Mexico and the United States.
There is already a fence.
There is already a fence.
People don't talk enough about that. There's already a damn fence. Are you going to build the wall on next top of to the fence?
Yeah. There's going to be this like middle space between the two. But the wall was made out of pinatas, like pinata bricks. Mm-hmm. And so it's this huge wall in SOEX's space. And I believe there is an event coming up in which people will have an opportunity to swing at the wall and like really truly break it and tear it down.
And I think another artist is going to come and tag it before that.
Tag it.
Like spray paint it.
So there's a talk there. There's a talk if you guys want to hear probably from the artists or the curator. It's Thursday, September 22nd at 7. And then the fall or the demolition party is on Saturday, October 15th.
Hey, Maysoon, that one artist is trapped on a fucking boat.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't necessarily Bay Area, although it is in the Pacific Ocean.
Which is connected to us. Part of us. Yep. We can see it.
So she's British, right?
I believe so.
This British artist, I want to say her name is like Angela Bliss or something like that. Am I close? So there was this residency. I knew a lot of people that applied for it where an artist was going to go be at sea for like 20 days or 23 days or something. And it was called 23 Days at Sea. And you were going to be in a fucking shipping container studio on a container ship, an actual working container ship, one of those great big barges. And sure enough, a woman got the residency and she's like, you know, out there at Etsy, and the company that owns a container ship went bankrupt.
It's amazing.
And now they don't have...
It's fucking amazing, and now the they story.
Now they don't have money to dock anywhere because you have to pay for that, especially mm-hmm. with such a giant boat. And now this artist is fucking trapped at sea and they're like conserving their food and water.
I think they've gotten rescued by now, don't you think?
I think she's still out there.
So British artist Rebecca Moss.
Oh, I was so close.
So the company went bankrupt on August 31st. So
my birthday.
We don't know when she started. We don't know at what point she was, what point in her residency she was.
23 days.
When they went bankrupt?
I think it sounds like it.
She would already been ported though. But I guess the company's applied for Chapter 15 bankruptcy protection with the U.S. and was granted permission by a bankruptcy court, which means it could soon dock its ships here, but it's not clear who's going to pay the docking fees.
But the artist will be set free then.
I think the artist is already gone. I think someone picked her ass up.
Like a little boat? Little tugboat?
I don't know how you get off those cargo ships.
Little cute tugboat.
Do we have any pictures from the artist of like her view from the ship?
I'm sure we'll have all that. Wouldn't that be great? Enough in a nice show in Brooklyn.
Yeah, right. What would you do? Would you fucking panic?
A, I would not and did not apply for that residency because it sounded like shit.
Did it?
Yeah, like man. I don't want to be in a damn container on a container ship.
If you don't mind that, I mean, to some people, it could sound pretty cool to be on the ocean for 23 days, like making art.
Well,
I don't know
then
how
they
you
probably relish the chance to be trapped.
To be then stranded. So maybe this, who do we even know what this art is, what kind of work she makes? Like maybe this is actually really.
Whatever it was, it did. It made sense for her.
For her work,
yeah,
right? That's pretty cool.
That's it. Our research assistant, Katie Kondo, was reading a interview with the woman that runs the residency that she was like, you know, this is actually the best thing that could happen for this artist.
Really?
I swear to
God. I fucking love it.
And
it's
I was
so
like,
good.
Take some responsibility. Like, what if she got scurvy out there or something?
No, she loves it. Don't worry about her. Scurvy. It's an old time thing. No one
She'll
gets
make
scurvy
great
anymore.
Work about vitamin C.
That is so funny. I love that.
Maysoon, I got an interesting email from a listener.
Okay.
Okay, Maysoon. There was this Oslo Architecture Triennial, And this guy basically has a chain of Airbnb properties.
Uh-huh.
So he doesn't live anywhere. He just
hops from property to property.
And he rents out his properties to Airbnb, different places.
Got it.
And
both happens.
And has cameras installed in all his Airbnbs to take pictures of the people that stay there. And he's like, that's his art.
Sleazeball. Ew, that's his art?
Yeah.
I hate him.
Hang on, let me show you a picture. So it's like a guy sitting on a window seat in his tidy whities. And like, I'm sure you can imagine all the other shit.
That's so rude.
So anyhow, my friend sent me this and he was basically like, how is this happening? Like, are there no ethics at all in the art world?
In Airbnb? No, there aren't.
Well, I think the Airbnb thing was kind of beside the point for him. It was more about like, could this artist teach at a university? Because the person who sent in is a professor, a psychology professor.
Okay.
And he's in evolutionary psychology and like the psychology of attractiveness. And there's so much red tape with them, right. You know?
Yeah.
And he was kind of like, can you just do anything and you can still keep
as an artist
and you can still be fine? And then I sent him back a thing like,
probably not completely, but it
and
seems
I was
like,
well, let's see, like, who, where are the times where I felt like there was a great ethical malpractice? I have a couple examples and maybe you'll have some too. Well, there, remember Doug Rickard? He got protested. He gave a lecture at SFAI a couple of years ago and the students protested because he was like taking like Google street views of people in like poor neighborhoods and like that was his artwork. Was like grabbing these pictures of people that weren't taken voluntarily. I mean, another situation just similar to the Airbnb guy, but
That's a little different because you could be commenting on Google, right? You could be commenting on this big corporate. Yeah.
And then they kind of...
Whereas this guy is like...
Yeah. Well, Doug Rickard, when questioned about it, it just got worse and worse and kind of unraveled that
fully prepared for...
Vanessa Beecroft has done tons of awful racist shit.
Mm-hmm.
She's still... I think like Kanye West is like paying her like on a payroll. Like
they
he's
had
her
like
patron.
A, yeah. They had their collaboration.
You got Marina Abramovic did her weird LA Mocha thing where the performers weren't really paid and they were just living decorations at a gala. Remember Yvonne Rainer wrote a letter to her about
definitely.
It. There was that artist that starved that dog. Do you remember that? There was that artist named Guillermo Vargas who like put a stray dog in a gallery and starved it to death. Yeah, and there was like, it was like national news. Like people all over the world were signing petitions to get this to stop and blah, blah, blah. Then there's that fucking Tom Otterness. Did you know about this?
Which one?
He does a lot of public sculpture and still gets tons of huge commissions to do public sculpture. He did a sculpture in front of the, he has a piece here at SF MoMA, that like sconce thing that goes around a doorway.
Oh, yeah.
He does these like really cartoony, weird sculptures. He has one in front of the fucking Zuckerberg Hospital. What do real San Franciscans call that, Maysoon?
SF General.
So anyhow, he fucking, in like, I think the 70s or 80s, made a movie where he adopted a dog and shot it to death.
No, that can't be real.
It's true. So
what
that's kind
of
what
that about?
Yeah. So, and he's doing great.
Shot his dog and filmed it for a video called Shot Dog Film.
Yep.
That's in 77. Jesus fucking Christ.
Somebody just told, I think Dana Hemingway just told me about that. There was also that guy, what's his name, Scollin or whatever, who was in the Whitney, the 2014 Whitney Biennial that like made up a fake, he was a white guy, made up a fake identity that was a black woman.
Oh yeah.
And then the collective Yams protested.
Right.
Pretty sure. I don't know what's going on with him, but I'm sure he's fine. Right? So any other gross ethical aberrations?
I mean, is it the issue that they're, but artists still get away with it?
Yeah. Basically what I said to the listener was like, we don't get there's barely any government funding for the art. So the people that decide like who's going to be able to get money for art is just random rich people.
Right.
And so whatever their like moral or ethical standards are.
But at this point, like shooting a dog is illegal.
You can kill a cow. The listener was asking like, hey, I'm in this field of science where, like, we have a lot of ethical red tape that we can't breach because we'll lose funding. We won't do our be able to do our right. research. Mm-hmm. Like, it, in the art world, or, like,
so not about getting arrested and put in jail, just about losing funding to keep doing your work.
Right. And, it, like, even in academia, like, are these people, can these people still be professors? Like, blah, blah, blah. And yes, yeah. they can.
Yeah, they can. I'm sure a lot of them are.
I said that the only people that are going to, like, put any resistance up is not going to be the administration or the board of the university. It's going to be the students. There was an artist up for a tenure track job at a college here in the Bay Area, and they had work that was, like, very problematic. And I think the students,
yeah,
you know, kicked up some fuss about it.
And yeah, I've heard some stuff.
That person didn't get the job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've heard of that happening. Could you really say that we have no ethical standards?
I think each institution probably has their own. I don't think the art world in general has, like, a, this is that whole thing of, like, is there, like, a ethics?
Right. There's no code of ethics.
There's no code of ethics. We tried to get one going, but I don't even know if that did that even come into play, these kinds of issues. Violence against one another. I guess treat people like you'd want to be treated was maybe one of them, or...
Don't, I think some of
don't
these
be a jerk.
Butt maybe up against like kind of the social justice ideas that people were having about yeah. representation and things like that. But do we really want to limit these activities?
I don't think animals should be killed. I think that would be, I'd be okay with limiting that. But I think nudity and, I mean, self-harm and consent is okay.
Yeah.
I guess consent in general feels okay. But like with an animal, I don't think you can get consent.
Yeah.
Even if you own it. I just think that's...
I mean, I think people should be able to like nail their dick to a board.
Sure. I do too.
No one should put a stop to that.
Yeah. I mean, some of these things I might not want to see, but it's, I'm certainly not going to be the person saying, it can't happen. It's terrible.
Right.
I don't...
That's part of our whole art ethos.
Yeah.
It's like, nail your dick to a board. It's all good.
Just don't do mine.
Yeah. What do you think, listeners? 419-351-6606. You could write a whole paper about this topic, and then you could email it to us at congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Hot issues. Hot issues today. We're bringing up a lot of real controversial stuff this episode, so we're hoping to hear from you.
Do we have anything on...
That's the only reason we bring up this stuff, is to hear from you, listeners. We're so lonely.
We need some of your advice, or not advice, but opinions. Are there any shows on view right now that have controversial elements to them?
I'm sure.
I mean, that you've heard of.
I heard Tom Sachs is real.
But as being controversial, maybe we'll get some listener feedback about Tom Sachs and why he's so great.
Hello, congratulations, Pine Tree. This is Art Workers Anonymous. A so-called artist has invaded our beloved Yerba Buena. Make no mistake, despite his pretenses of wokeness, he is a true colonizer. A mere taste of his rapacity for whitewashing is forthcoming in the next few days. We shall not let his offenses withstand unremarked upon. Bullshit entitlement must be expunged. AWA out.
Cada mañana con su canción de amor. No hay, no hay nadie como tú.
I would like to make this episode two in a row where I indict and slander Michael Krasny. Host of Forum. I actually started a petition in my apartment to get a new host for Forum. We've got two signatures so far.
Oh, good job.
And we're out of space because it was a very small piece of paper. But if anybody else wants to start a forum, oh. If anybody else wants to start a petition, I will sign it. Mina Kim's on there. She's not perfect, but she could host. I like her voice.
Why don't we just send Michael a little letter asking him to retire?
Yeah. You know, I've been talking a big game, but as soon as you said that, I felt bad. Listeners, you can donate to the show at our website, congratulationspinetree.com. We got a real nice donate button. Go ahead and donate. It goes through PayPal. We're looking for sponsors.
Wow. I'm not sure what kind of thing we'll be doing, but if you
we're looking to really monetize this whole thing,
this whole shindig.
We're getting ready to do an IPO. And we got to drum up the valuation. Our valuation right now, where's our valuation at, Mason?
-3.
That's right. So looking for a little more revenue stream.
We want to be kind of in the positive tens, at least.
Positive tens would be a dream.
Right? That'd be pretty good.
All right. I hope everyone's having a beautiful hump day today.
Oh, hump days. I love that phrase so much. I just like that phrase a lot. It's so weird. I'm going to look into where that came from.
Oh, please do. And we'll have that for you next time.
I'm going to prepare some research for everyone.
Oh, next episode's episode 100, Maysoon.
Woohoo!
It's going to be pretty epic.
It's going to be epic. And
JK,
yet,
it's going to be not totally epic. Mellow. And from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.